This. Everybody on staff's totally uncomfortable. Ah, it's great. No, let me tell you. This week I'm getting texts. What about this? What are we doing this? And finally I just texted and said, look, I want everybody as uncomfortable as possible. Because it's true, because that's the word for today. She mentioned Joshua. She has no idea what I'm teaching on today. So last week, what did we talk about? We talked about what 20 was, right? And 20 is where the wait is over. We use the example of the Ark of the Covenant sat in Israel, but not where it was supposed to be for 20 years. We talked about Jacob having to do 20 years of service to finally get his wives back. We talked about what the meaning of the palm of the actual number 20 is. But what I want to emphasize, it's ironic, again, my wife just said it, the wait is over. The wait is over. And the wait was over for Israel when it was time for them to move into the promised land. And so, incorporating what we're talking about today, once the wait is over, movement has to occur. You get what I'm saying? It's one thing to say, oh man, it's finally over. It's another thing to move into the promised land. If they never... I mean, they could have said, you know, God said, okay, it's over, you get to go in, but if nobody moved to go in, then that's what happened. Let's just get to the word here. Here's what I want you to hear and understand. We're going to see how many times God said strong and courageous to Joshua, to Israel, and let's just walk through it. Here it is. So this is when Moses is, let's just read it. So Moses went and spoke these words to Israel, and he said to them, I'm 120 years old today. So it was his birthday. I am no longer able to come and go, and the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. It's the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you, and he will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them, and Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them just as he did to Sihon and Og and the kings of the Amorites and to their land, and he will destroy them. And the Lord will deliver them up before you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I've commanded you. So be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you, and he will not fail you or forsake you. Now Moses spoke this to this is the first time it's said in this block of scripture where this word is used so many times. But he spoke this to all of Israel. And I want you to notice that I'm not ready for that yet. I want you to notice that he told them that he was no longer going to be there. Excuse me. I've been a little under the weather, but I'm above it because I'm being strong and courageous. The opposite, by the way, of strong and courageous. You ready? Weak and fearful. So he could have very well said, don't be weak and fearful. No. You get it? Because that's what happens. What happens is, and in this moving into the promised land, I need to help you with something here. This is not about God's going to restore back to me what is mine. No, sir. This is new stuff. God is moving us into the promised land of new. And walking into the promised land of new is not very comfortable. And that's the whole theme of everything that's happening in here. So again, this is what he says. So now let's go to the next scripture. And watch how this works here. It says, then Moses called Joshua to him, and in the sight of all of Israel. So Moses had just said, you be strong and courageous, Israel. And then he says, in front of all of Israel to Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you, and he will be with you. He goes ahead of you, and he will be with you. He goes ahead of you and will be with you. That's where fear tries to come in. God is always for us, not against us. He will go with us wherever he's taking us. You just have to follow him. Verse 8, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you and he'll be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So, So strong and courageous to all of Israel, strong and courageous to Joshua, right? Then God comes in this picture. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, the time for you to die is near." Wouldn't you like to get a heads up like that from God? Hey, Steve, it's about time. Yes, sir, I'm ready. "The time for you to die is near. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent of the meeting that I may commission him." Wow. So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves at the tent of the meeting, and the Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud. Isn't that interesting? What did the Bible say? How did they ever follow God but with the pillar of the cloud, right? So you appeared in the tent in the pillar of the cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood at the doorway of the tent. Then he commissioned Joshua. Talking about God, God commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and then God said, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the sons of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you." So here you have this whole, Moses says it. Moses makes sure the people hear that Joshua's getting it. God comes in and pulls Joshua aside and commissions him, selects him to do this leading, and all the time saying, "Be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. Don't be weak and fearful." So then the next scenario is this, and I believe this is a beautiful scenario. It's where the Bible says that God took Moses up so that he could see the promise. And there's a picture I just want you to see. I want you to put your brain in this. This is from where Moses was probably sitting, overlooking the promised land. So God takes him up so that he could see the promised land. And he tells him, excuse me. No, I'm good. You know what? I actually have something right here in my pocket. Cassie trying to help me. You know what? I have water. I always stay away from water because my granddad used to say, "Yeah, your message is so dry, you got to wash it down." I apologize, kind of. So, picture this. God takes Moses up and he says, "Moses, you know that you're not going to get to go in here, but I want you to be able to see it." And people have always, because you know that where the Bible says that you're not going to go in now because you messed up, because you struck the rock when you weren't supposed to and all that. Let's be really honest here. Moses wasn't the one to get him into the promised land. Moses was not a warrior. Joshua was. The Bible says Joshua was a warrior from his youth. Moses was a great guy, a man of God, but he wasn't the one commissioned to go in. But I just have this wonderful picture of sitting next to God and God explaining to him. Now here's what's interesting. So then Moses dies, 120 years old. He was healthy. The Bible says his eyes did not dim. Let me say it like I wrote it. His eyes were bright and his health was still good at 120 years old. Wow. But the Lord took him home. And I think he was okay with that. So then here's what happened. This is interesting. I'm not done with "be strong and courageous." He pounds this. God pounds this. So Moses dies. And for 30 days they mourn his death. That means everything shuts down. Nobody goes to work. They mourn the death of Moses. He's a great guy. 30 days is a long time. So at the conclusion of this 30 days, here comes this scripture. "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead.'" He's been dead 30 days. Why would God have to tell him he's dead? Do you understand what I'm saying? God is making a point. this is dead. It's time to move forward. The wait is over from going into the promised land. Moses is dead. So he tells him, Moses is dead. And therefore, now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. And every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. Just as I spoke to Moses. Every step that you take is yours. Is that not powerful? Every step that you take. You want to buy a piece of property? Well, just keep walking. Every step that you take, I've given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. That's all cool and everything, but then all of a sudden he comes back in with it. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law. I'm going to sneeze, sorry. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it night and day, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Holy smoke, yes, sir, many times. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Why the pounding of this? Here's what I know, and this is why I told you earlier, I'm glad the staff is uncomfortable. Joshua is the only person in the Bible that his entire life was moving out of his comfort zone. Every step that he took was new territory that he did not know. I remember when I first came to this church back in 1992, and I would pull up here after dark and park on the side like I do, and I would feel very uncomfortable that some booger man's gonna get me, that somebody's gonna grab me. I just was very uncomfortable, so I'd go to the door and I'd look around my shoulder, and that was back really before we were, we're a little bit worse now in this area, in the hood. But I was very uncomfortable with that. Have you not done that before? Been in, so you're on your way somewhere? Now here's a great example. You're going somewhere, of course you have a GPS now, but you're gonna go somewhere, and you're driving there, and you're just totally trying to find it, so uncomfortable. Once you finally get there and you finish, so when you're headed back home, you don't need no GPS. You get it. You're headed back home. You know that way. So you just get in your car, and isn't it amazing how it seems to go quicker when you, it always takes longer to get there than it does to get back, which is not true, but it's true. Because it's uncomfortable. And God has our church in this wonderful, uncomfortable place. And when I say that, I mean it's the steps that we take. It's new territory. It's not God restoring what the devil stole. No, sir. God has a promise for this place. And that promise is real, and that promise is true. And so God says to be strong. And all there where it talks about, don't get away from the law and don't do all that. That is so true. But we walk under a new covenant now. And that new covenant actually has some speaking of strength, being strong in the Lord. Let's go to this. And final word, says Paul to the Ephesus church, be strong in the Lord. So now we're in this new covenant. Christ has done what he did for us. And he's saying, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, because you ain't got none, right? Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Be strong and courageous as you put this armor on, because the second when you have all this armor on, if you turn around and run screaming like a banshee because the devil's after you, he's going to hit you on the backside, because that armor covers you when you face up with him. You got it. So God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategy of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood, even though you think you are enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities and unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, because of that, because that's in our battles, not against people, but against the enemy, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then after the battle, you will stand firm. You will be strong. You will be courageous. So stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth. The belt of truth that covers you. The belt of truth. The truth of what? The truth of what Christ did for you on the cross. In fact, if you'll study that, I've already vetted it out. I just wanted to do the whole vetting thing today for you. The truth of what Christ did for us on the cross. That's where we keep our belt covered. Our what is it? In another scripture talks about the loins. Cover your loins. That's your life-giving area. We will not have any life if we don't believe the truth of what Christ has done for us. We just won't have it. So, the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness that protects our heart. What? The fact that He is our righteousness, we are not righteous. The fact that He declares us righteous because of what Christ did for us, this is where the battle is. I am not righteous. I get it, but He is righteous, therefore I'm declared righteous. How powerful is that? If that doesn't cover your heart, nothing will cover your heart. That's where the enemy comes in and he tries to attack you. He is a liar. Thank you. I like that. All in favor say aye. Thank you. And put on the shoes would be like shoes, but I can't see. For the shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news. You get that? And that really is how it's played out. I didn't make that up. The peace, your shoes of peace. What does it mean? You walk in peace. You don't just sit in peace. You don't just go, oh, God, give me. But you walk in peace. And that peace comes from what? The good news of what Christ did. That's where your peace is. That's the only place you're going to find peace. Because you're not going to find peace in your own situations. You're not going to find peace in your own understanding. You're only going to find peace in Him. And in understanding what He did for you. Holy smoke, there's some serious peace right there. So I have my Crocs on of peace. So that why he says you got to have the peace so that you'll be fully prepared. For what? The enemy. The enemy's going to try to come in with turmoil. He gives you peace. And you walk in it. How cool is that? But you got to put it on because you got to be strong in the Lord. In addition, verse 16, to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the enemy. Faith. Belief, the word pistis in the original language. What does that mean? It's believing what Christ did for you. Why is it that you realize that's the only piece that moves around, right? The enemy's going to try to come in all kinds of directions. You just got to block it with your faith. Well, you know what? You are a sorry, no good Steve Van Zandt person. You go to hell. And then the faith comes up. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Holy smoke. That wouldn't hurt for you to learn a little of the word. And I'm telling you, man, the word makes the enemy mad. He comes in with all kinds of stuff. I put my faith up. No. My faith. I believe. I believe Christ did what He did for me. I believe He's healed me. Just a quick side note. I've been extremely sick the last couple of days. And I'm extremely good today. Amen. I mean, I still hack and stuff. You heard it a while ago. I'm being offered candy and stuff. I like that. Well, what are you taking? What are you taking? My wife asked me that. Yeah, what are you taking for it? Communion? Yeah, that's really the truth. 5 times yesterday. Because this ain't play to me. And I'm not telling people not to do stop. I'm doing something for me. Because that's where I believed. And I believe that's where my healing is. And that's faith. Believing that what Christ said He did on the cross, He really did on the cross. Amen. So put on that faith. And then I love this one. God, I love this one. Put on the helmet of salvation. Salvation, sozo, that is the fact what Christ did for us saved us, and it incorporates all avenues of healing and wholeness. Put on the helmet. Why? Because that covers the mind. That helmet protects your brain, your phronio, as it says in Greek. That helmet is powerful. It protects you. Your salvation does. And then take that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Just find some cool scriptures and just start throwing them out there, man. Seriously. Jab them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes. Enemy can't stand that. Enemy can't. He can't stand that. And then 18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion, and stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Pray. I've told y'all a million times, prayer is talking with God, listening to God. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is the answer to prayer. Here's what I know. Yeah, there's been a lot of changes, and there'll be more changes coming. And it's not change for change's sake. It's because God is telling us to be strong and courageous and to take the territory that we haven't taken. And what's really cool about that, as Josh walks through his life, again, every step he took was a place he had never been. That is so uncomfortable. I've shared this story, and I'm done. But I've shared the story with you about my daughter, but I want to share it again. My daughter Leah, when we were in Burleson, and it was back in the day when they only had like one light, and she was scared, and I pulled up, it was broad daylight, and I pulled up, and, "Dad, lock the doors." And I'm like, "Why? This is Burleson. You know, cowboy going to get you or something?" She goes, "We're in a dangerous area." I said, "Leah, this is not a dangerous area. We're just in a place where you've never been." Man, right then the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. That's you, Steve. See, we want to stay in a comfort zone. We just want to stay there. But let me tell you something. God is taking us to places where we're going to be uncomfortable. There's a meme that I saw where this lady and her son are on this roller coaster, and she's going, "Ah!" And the kids all chill. And the one going, "Ah!" It says me, and the one chills is the Holy Spirit. You get it. That's where we are. This is a ride. But I'm telling you, I am convinced God is taking us places we've never been. So we will be uncomfortable. There's not comfort in that. We will be ready to complete whatever season he has to get us to where we are loving the folks and serving the folks, because it really does boil back down to that. You want to be strong and courageous? You're going to have to love people you've hated. Yeah, not just put up with them. You're going to have to love people that you have a difference of opinion with. It's uncomfortable because we're ugly. But man, Jesus is real. And he's going to help us in that. And I just want to publicly say thank you to him for giving me strength today to kind of have a little clarity.
Amen. 2 weeks ago when Steve was speaking, he made this comment. He said, "Love without emotion is the deeper commitment." Because we are driven by our passions and by our emotions. And you may think something one day when somebody says something, and then later your anger's cooled and you realize that you still love each other, whatever. I remember when my mom got the final report that there was nothing else they could do for her, and basically they were going to send her home. And my dad, I had taken my dad out privately for coffee before my mom and the others got home and told him what I'd found out. And he was upset, you know. But when my mom got home, my dad went and I didn't know. I was coming, we were staying at my sister's house, and they were in a separate guest bedroom, and I was coming around the hall, and I got to see it. It was beautiful. My dad just put his arms on my mom's shoulders, and he brought her right this close, and he said, "When I made a commitment to you to marry you, I said, for better or worse, in sickness and in health, and I meant it. And I'm going to be with you through this." He was very calm, never emotional. It was very calm. And he said, "I'm going to be with you through this, and we're going to make it. But I'm going to stick with you." And then he just pulled her to him, and she just began to sob in his arms, but Dad stayed strong. Do you need a Father God to do that for you today? Over adversity in your life? Do you need to know that there's someone without emotion that's already processed the reports of what's going to happen to you and without emotion can say to you, "I've made a commitment to you"? I wondered if that's not why we are considered the bride of Christ, because there's a God, guys and girls, there's a God who wants to provide for you without the emotion to bring you close and to say to you, regardless of what's ahead, "I'm committed to you, and I'm going to see you through it." I believe he's speaking that through the Holy Spirit today, and we need to hear, "Be strong and be courageous." Sometimes nobody else is going to be around to speak that to yourself, and you're going to have to be the one who gets in the mirror or just writes it down on sticky notes or whatever, whether it's visual or auditory or however you need to hear it. But you need to be reminded today. And I think it's important that he didn't say, "Don't be worried, don't be afraid," because you're feeding yourself worry and fear just by saying it. You know what? I'm going to take courage and I'm going to take strength. And when Steve held that shield up and was saying, "I am the righteousness of God in Christ," the actual warriors in that day, they would soak leather with water, and they would line their shields, the outside, with this water-soaked leather so that when the dart came, the moisture would extinguish the flame as it hit the shield. Don't you see that that's a perfect working of the Word and the Spirit? And that's what he wants for us. Don't let the Word depart from you. So I'm either going to have faith in the Word that I can be strong and courageous, or I'm going to have faith in the news reports that you need to be afraid and you need to be worried and you need to be panicked. No, without emotion, he loves us. And he's standing before us today saying, "I want you to love me the same way." That's trust and faith in God. The world situations are going to come and go. But guys, according to 1 Timothy 2:1, you know what my job is and your job is? Pray. Pray for every single person. And not cursing, but praying. God, deal in their life that their minds will be open, that their deceit will be broken. Deal, oh God, today. With strength and with courage, we're going to pray. Any of you in here today need strength and courage? Can you just lift your hand? Yeah? Anybody in here today just need to know that God is committed to you in that way? If my dad was a human man, how much more will Father God be committed to you and I, his bride, with our sin sickness, with our health issues? How much more is he waiting for us to trust him and to let him pull us close? The enemy wants you to reject God. And today he's calling us. He's calling us to pull closer. And I'm grateful for what you said. It's a new day for this church. And it's a good day. You are good people. You are good people. And he is a good God. And he's going to see us through these situations because we trust him and we love him. Amen. I want you to stand with me. And today, this is what I want to do. We're going to take communion in a minute. But right now, I just want us to close our eyes and just seal this. Lord, today, I want you to embrace me with a love that is not moved by emotion and fear. But God, I'm asking you to give me the strength inside, Lord, to know that you are who you say you are, that you will do what you say you will do. And God, church, this is just my part. Just want to say it, get it out there. Because you know me, God, and I want to put my hands to things. I want you to help me and calm me, God, so that I'll let you be in control, Lord, so that I'll let you be the one who handles it. And God, I'm telling you right now, I know I probably will question you because I'm just crazy that way, but I don't want to. I want to really believe you for things that I've never believed you before, and I don't want it to be my way. I do want it to be your way. But Lord, have patience with me, oh God, because I get in a hurry. But in my heart today, God, I declare before you and all these people that I trust you with the outcome. Oh, I trust you with the outcome, not just for my life, but for their lives, God. And I'm asking you, Lord, to cement this peace, that we will be led by peace, not the fear, but the strength of the Lord today. We receive your word today, God. Do you agree with that? Lord, we receive your word today. Let us be strengthened by it in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Amen. Now what I'd like for you to do, there's communion around at the back, and there's communion at the front. Lee and Connor, if you'll come and help me. There's communion right here. If you're in agreement, thank you, Ben. If you're in agreement with these things, if this is a place where you want to go deeper, we're just going to take a minute and take communion together right now.